And good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and I'd like to thank you for joining the Adopted Standards Task Force. We do have a guest presenter today, and I'd like to welcome her as well. As a reminder, your feedback is welcomed, which can be typed in the chat feature to everyone throughout the meeting, or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:50 Eastern Time this morning. So I'm going to begin roll call of our task force members, so when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. Hans Bootendeck.
Good morning.
Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Jeff Danford. Raj Gavarti. Jim Gerges.
Present.
Don Kilborn. Hung Lu.
Good morning.
Glenn McDonald. Devin McGraw.
Here.
Eliel Oliveira. Vasil Pechev.
Good morning.
Samantha Pitts. Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Bill Sutherland.
Good morning.
I believe Ram Sharam is out on vacation this week and hope to be back next week. Raymond Wee.
Good morning.
And Debbie Willis.
Good morning.
Thank you, everyone. And now please join me in welcoming Hans and Steve for their opening remarks.
Steve, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. Good morning, all, and thank you for joining us for this morning's task force meeting. We're going to continue to work through some of the data standards. I do want to remind folk that if you are going to use chat, please select everyone so that any message that you share is included in the minutes. If you select task force members or panelists, your comments are not included in the minutes or the official recording of the meeting. I'd like to give the floor to Hans. Good morning, Hans.
Morning, Stephen. Good morning, everybody. I appreciate everybody joining today. We are in the home stretch. We have some standards to look at that that we haven't gotten to yet in group six, and have a guest to help provide some clarification on NCPDP. So we're almost there. We also started with the with some drafting. So today should be a great meeting to look at those two parts and begin the final leg on our recommendations. Tomorrow we'll have a general update to HIDEC, but today we hope to get to that almost finish line, and that we can then turn around and begin to draft and finalize our drafts on the recommendations. So appreciate that, all the feedback, input, and discussions that we've had, and looking forward to today to wrap that up. Thank you. So with that, Steve, how shall we jump in? Just jump in to the topics, and that means that we can start to, I believe, go to slide number six, I think.
I think so. Are there any questions or comments from the task force members? I think we're good.
Okie doke. Then let's go there. We have a couple of topics in here. Notes, or at least some shorthand notes, will start to happen not in the spreadsheet as we have done before, but that we are putting it into the draft document where we have our draft recommendations in flight in the Google Doc. So if you want to follow that, then can look there at some of the notes. But they're strictly notes to make sure that we can craft it in a moment after that. So first one, we have our FHIR US Core implementation guide that is currently represented in the 21st Century Cures Act final rule, referencing US Core version 3.1.1. We know that there is already, because it has been published and is actually referenced in ASVAB, that there is a version 4 out there and a version 5 out there. Version 4 has been listed in the ASVAB to enable further support, enhanced support for USCDI version 1. and version 5 is listed with support for USCDI version 2. So we know that there's a more current version out there, and with USCDI version 3 having been published, work has started on US Core version probably 6, whatever the number is going to be, that will then address any of the new attributes that version 3 have in play. So we anticipate that that cadence in some fashion is going to progress. From that perspective, some of the notes in the spreadsheet indicated, similar as what we have done elsewhere, that it is appropriate in the next regulatory update to consider a newer version, thus retire the current one, 3.1.1, and consider the then most current one. But as we indicated in a couple of other areas with USCDI, we want to probably have similar language that indicates that the version of Fire US Core and the version of USCDI, whatever is going to be in that update, needs to sync. So we have to be very careful to make sure is that if USCDI version 4 is out, but there is no supporting Fire US Core for that yet, it could be the latest Fire US Core, but that would not work with the latest USCDI version yet. So we have to keep that balance still in mind. But that's where some of the comments were. And that's where I want to open up and see, is that an appropriate approach to follow and continue to follow here? Or do we want to do something different? So the suggestion direction is the then most current, but make sure it aligns with whichever USCDI version is in to be included as well. And I see a hand up from Jeff. Go ahead.
Yep, absolutely. This is one of those that, you know, probably whatever we do for US Core is going to need to follow USCDI. So, you know, we have like current version and version minus one while we're working on next version, and they have to stay in sync. Otherwise, we're just going to be crazy.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, for certain, the implementation guide should match wherever they, you know, wherever ONC ends up landing with respect to which version of USCDI gets adopted at. But I thought we had an extensive discussion about the versioning process for USCDI and, you know, sort of somewhat nuanced decision making around when a version that's been through the SFAP process and is voluntarily available is sort of ready to be adopted and mandated as a standard. And it might not necessarily be the most current version that's going through the SFAP process. So that sort of component of your recommendation, Hans, gave me a little bit of pause that the implementation guide would go to the most current version of USCDI versus just asking for it to be aligned with whatever version of USCDI ends up being adopted, and definitely to move on from version one by the time this, that's my recollection of the prior conversation, but maybe I missed something.
No, I think you're spot on, and we talked about it, and that's agreed. I think I may have an underlying assumption that we need to clarify and maybe then be more explicit around, is that at this point, USCDI is ahead of Fire US Core.
Yeah.
So that means is that USCDI, we have to be careful going to 4, let's say, if Fire US Core and CCDA are not yet up to par with that to support that. But it is unlikely, if that cadence and sequencing continues to occur, USCDI will always be most current or further ahead. The most current US Core will support the one before that in USCDI. So in that sense, from a US Core perspective, it's the most current.
Okay.
USCDI perspective, it's not, because there is no supporting. So I think we have to be very careful with that language, because I think we were completely in sync, just expressing it differently because of USCDI.
Yep.
Ahead.
Thank you, Hans. That was very helpful.
If it switches around, if the cadence is going to turn around and say, hey, let's do Fire US Core first, and then we catch up with USCDI, if that twists happened, then we have to flip it around and say, hey, don't go to the latest fire use core when your CDI is not up there. You probably, because the latest version will encompass the current, then most current UCI, that probably will not be as much a problem as if UCDI is ahead. UCDI ahead will cause more problems than the other way around.
Yeah.
But okay. I think I agreed we need to put some cautionary remarks around that to make sure that that's clear as to why. And then we can consider that.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that clarification. It's really helpful.
Okay, other thoughts, comments before we move on? Okay, let's then go to the next one, which is bulk data access. We talked about that a little bit, and that sounds like that there is already, the version one is in the 21st Century Cures Act, and we have a version in ASVAB. So that seems to be, there is no specific tie into a UCDI otherwise. That seemed to be a fairly straightforward, consider the then most current. We already are as ASVAB. If there's a more current one, then that should be considered. We might have arguments at that time, but we should retire the current one because we can already move up in ASVAB. Any concerns with that one? Okay, I'll take that as a we are okay for the next one. Now we're getting really into something that we have not quite discussed yet, smart app framework. Currently in the final rule, version one, release one is referenced. ASVAB already allows for a version two. I don't believe, others might know better, but I don't believe that there is a version, let's say 3.0 or 2.1 in flight, but it could by the time that there is a next regulatory update. Is there any reason to consider that this should not follow the same pattern and consider retire 1.0 and move up to the then most current that needs to be considered? Any reason not to in this particular circumstance? Okay, if not, then.
Not looking at this particular standard, but I think from a clarification piece, I was thinking about the then most current piece, just on further reflection, maybe we want to parking lot the issue till we get to reviewing the draft standards, but thinking about what the most current may actually be from a conceptual standpoint, as to whether it's what's in SVAP or at that point in time, at whatever point in time a regulation is being considered, or what constitutes as most current as when a regulation or regulatory update is being considered. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I think there might be two parts to that. One is that generally the language that we started to use, and as we go through the draft language, we want to revisit that and make sure it's correct, is that we're using the term consider adoption. So it's not saying we are recommending that you have to adopt whatever the demo's current is. You should consider it. The other part is that ASVAB is on a yearly boundary. So if today we have ASVAB that's out, and let's say arbitrarily next year, the next version of ASVAB would come out, but instead of ASVAB, we have the regulation come out. And at that point in time, there is already a new version that otherwise likely would have gone into ASVAB. Well, there is no necessarily an ASVAB in that sense, because I now have a new regulation that's going to come into play. So if I'm looking at the most current ASVAB published now, and I stick with that, I'm not taking advantage of the latest one that should be considered that otherwise would have gone in ASVAB, and maybe depending on how that process works, it just needs to go in regulation and off we go. So that's why that might be a later one than what's in ASVAB.
Right, but also thinking about it in the context of things, you know, standards for trial use, which we've seen numerous times appear in actual regulation as what is to be used for regulation, but it always seems peculiar to me to have a standard for trial use being used in production. And there are other conditions like that. Is what does it mean to be current? Does it mean, again, from a general perspective, does that mean balloted and everything reconciled by HL7? What does current mean?
And perhaps we can have some general language that we can talk about is that if, at that point in time to consider adoption should take into account, and I believe that we have already some beginnings of that, maturity, adoption, et cetera, acceptance by the community that make that up. But that's at that point in time to consider that. Today, we are not sure what that's going to be a year from now or 5 months from now.
Right. Yeah, I was looking for a hard definition, but just some guidance because, you know, what's current can be different from different perspectives.
Right. We probably have to be careful from a scope and charter of the task force that we can only say what goes out. And we're not asked to have a hard recommendation on what should go in, because that's in the future. And that's going to go through that round of NPRM review, where all those considerations can come up.
Absolutely. But again, just from the general concept of what current is from our perspective for this purpose.
Shall we come back to that when we start the draft to introduce?
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other comments before we go to the next topic? Okay, so then we have the next one that is the data segmentation guide that is in play. Currently, the standard that is referenced is the release one of DS4P. It's about how to flag and tag data in documents in particular. There is not a current version in ASVAB, and it does not look like that there's currently any particular one in progress as a new release, unless somebody else has information on that. So here the question is going to be, what is the appropriate action to take? One of the comments in the spreadsheet has been that DS4P for the overall ability to do consent and security labeling and management and actions on that is not enough. But there is nothing newer out there. It is also, it's not that you have a replacement of it, but in itself, it's not enough. So probably needs to be maintained, but other aspects of that use case on managing privacy of data needs to be looked at to have that sufficiently in place to really make it work. But DS4P in itself is not quite solving the entire privacy management and consent management issue. So one direction would be is to suggest to maintain because there's nothing else there and we need something like this no matter what, but other things need to happen too. How would we like to address that? Keep it as a maintain and just point out that more needs to be done to be discussed separately? Or is there an alternative? Jeff, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I think you're right on that in that we've got something that defines how labels should be, you know, put into everything and how we need to tag everything, but we really don't have that workflow piece built out as to how they're meant to be used and, you know, how people should be taking care of them. And we need to get that kind of structure in place before we start looking at trying to change this standard.
Devin.
Yeah, I would say given the mandate of the committee that we're identifying things to get rid of, this is definitely a maintain in my view. It is not a perfect standard or implementation guide, that there's room for growth and room for a lot more implementation experience. But without something to replace it, in light of recent developments, I think it's critically important that there be something there, even if it's less than ideal.
Are we okay? And so we would make a clear maintain. There is nothing else. But are we okay to highlight the comment that also Jeff made, that in order to really support the full workflow, there's other things needed, not just this. Is that a fair a recommendation or a statement to make in there to clarify, is that we need to grow here in order to make this work?
I don't see how it hurts. I mean, I often think, you know, these sometimes are opportunities to provide some input into ONC, even if, you know, our mandate is specifically to identify what needs to right. be eliminated. But I don't see the harm in you know, in supporting additional work on this. Right.
Okay. Others? Go ahead.
I'm wondering if indeed that is not sufficient, and is this something that is really implemented and in use? And if it's not, why not add to be removed and be replaced with something comprehensive that is fit for purpose? I personally don't know of any use of this specification in the real world. And I have a narrow view, of course. So if others know of it, then maintain makes sense. But if it is not used, why keep it around just because it can be a basis in the future for something that might be used, but it is not being used today?
I believe that it is used even rudimentary, in that document level tagging is still using the concepts defined in DS4P. Certainly, as you go into a document to section to entry, then you use even more of it. But where you are doing document level tagging, you are using it. So the question then becomes, is even that we say is that we roll back from that opportunity and ability to do? I don't know what the distribution is, and ONC might have insight. How many have certified beyond the document level into more specific use of that? So that's where pro, and it's there are gradations of voluntary part of it. So I think it might be challenging to remove it and then reintroduce either this or something else. We also have security labeling in Fire US Core, which does the same thing on Fire resources. That's there as well, that needs to be supported. So for consistency purposes, I believe it's going to be hard to remove it, but it's also agreed, until we have something else, it's really not working in the way that we like it to work. Other comments there, other perspectives? Does that, Vasil, help swaying one way or the other? Or do you have a strong perspective that no, we actually should try to argue to take it out?
I'm just wondering if the CCDA implementation guide already covers what is in the document level tagging.
I believe it references this guide.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, I think, part of where the things are tied together. No disagreement, though, with your assessment on how widely and how effectively it's being used because of other things that are missing. And that goes back to Jeff's comments as well. It's that workflow piece. It's clear understanding of both privacy policy and patient consent directives that are computable, that you know how to do it, et cetera, et cetera. There's lots of things around it, and do it consistently at a national level. That makes it hard and needs more to make it work at scale. So any concerns that we keep it as maintain, considering Vasil's comments as maintain, or is there additional consideration to take the alternative and suggest to drop it? And if I'm not hearing anything, we make the assumption that maintain, indicate their challenges, more work needs to be done, and then we move from there. Okay, we gave it a pause. That's where we sit. Next one, and I'm not sure whether we have separate slides for this, but now we are at NCPDP. And that's where I believe we have a guest today to help give a little bit more backdrop on current state of NCPDP. And just double checking.
This is Margaret Weicker. I'm on. Margaret,
yeah. You're on? All right, great. Margaret, then we would like to introduce you and give the opportunity to clarify more around what's currently available and where are some of the discussions in the NCPDP environment on what a next version or not might be appropriate to consider.
Okay. I'm Margaret Weicker, I'm Vice President of Standards Development at NCPDP, or the National Council for Prescription Drug Programs. Today, entities are using the script standard version 2017-071. It has been adopted under Medicare Part D, as in dog, and ONC as part of their criteria. And software vendors have till the end of the year to certify to version 2017-071. NCPDP requested from both Medicare Part D and ONC on June 14th of this year to move to version 2022-011. And so that is going through their process. Medicare Part D and ONC work together to do timing of required, you know, when must it be implemented and those type of things. The latest version of the script standard was just approved, and it's version 2022-071. So depending upon time frame associated with Medicare Part D and ONC, we may ask to move, you know, the version we originally requested to have that updated to a more current version. So that's where we stand at NCPDP.
All right, thank you. And there were some questions or comments that were made in the spreadsheet and the discussion before that perhaps we should maintain 2017-071. But based on your description, sounds like that while depending on the timing, that 011 or 071 for 2022 might be the right one to move forward, that there's an interest in the community to move forward. And then it becomes a timing of Part D, ONC's certification. And I think it's the EPCS as well, that there's some alignment to make sure that all everybody is in the same cadence. But that would be the primary driver, whether it's between 2211 or 2271. Is that a correct interpretation of it?
Yes, that would be correct. And obviously, there'll be an implementation time period for people to move to the 2022-011 or 71, right, which will be, you know, usually it's 2 years or 18 months. So people will still be using, you know, 2017-071 throughout next year, at least, not longer.
Right. And then clearly ONC, and whenever it comes up with regulatory update, where it's going to have the opportunity to reference NCPDP, they would have to then plug in the most appropriate that syncs with Part D, CMS, and EPCS, whichever one else.
Right.
Okay. Other questions or comments around that? Would that provide sufficient perspective to then have a similar recommendation as in others, that we indicate that the recommendation is to retire, phase out, and replace, and that the replacement clarifications are around that there is already work in progress to move forward with 2022-11. And that depending on the timing, that might become 2022-71, and that ONC should work with CMS to synchronize adoption so that we have a smooth transition for certified capabilities as well as other capabilities using that.
Hans, this is Steve. I have one question about using the script standard and prescription drug monitoring, and want to make sure that the PMP environment is also aligned with the adoption of current or then current versions. Margaret, can you talk to that a little bit?
Well, in regard to the PDMP, a lot of states mandate the use of an ASAP format. In the script standard, there are transactions that support PDMP. So states could either move the version forward as Medicare Part D and ONC do, or because it's typically done state, community, city, town, et cetera level, there's nothing, they would not be required to move to a new version because a lot of that's driven by other regulatory bodies, primarily at the state level.
Right, but is the state, it may be a different regulatory perspective, but is it the state, is it the SRIP standard, or is it a different standard for transaction being used?
Some entities use the SRIP standard, and other states mandate an ASAP format. So it's not consistent throughout the country because a lot of the PDMPs are done at the state level versus a national PDMP. So states and their regulatory bodies are on different schedules, make different determinations, that type of thing.
So Steve, what that means is that to further harmonize the use in those different settings would require other types of steps to be taken to further align. Currently, the certification 21st Century Cures Act is on the script 2017-2022 track that continues, but that there's not a comment there to be made is that wherever possible, further align with PDMP environments where that's where there's an opportunity. Would that be the direction of some clarifying notes?
And also ensuring that there's alignment with existing PDMP resources for support, so that we're not upgrading the standard without also supplying appropriate resources for institutions that are using the SRIP standard for PDMP to upgrade their environments as well. Because those systems are frequently not subject to the regulatory rules, so that they're not being upgraded by the HIT software vendors as part of normal upgrades. There are additional costs right to other entities involved.
And I see that Shelly has a comment in the chat as well, where Shelly, go ahead if you want to further put some context around that as well. Not sure, Shelly, whether you're on mute.
No, the public cannot speak until the public comment period.
Sorry. I did not see that note. So we'll come back to that. Thank you, Mike. So let's see. Based on that, are we okay with a general recommendation to retire and consider the demos current with the consideration of timing that might put 11 or 7.1 in play, and as well make a note that as we progress in this space, that it would be very beneficial to also align the PDMP programs wherever possible so that we can move towards over time a common and consistent standard for either PDMP or Part D or EPC, as that it's all in a consistent fashion. So that's
and add in a comment about resourcing for existing PMP components, because again, that's one of those things that's not included in HIT vendors' regular updates site, regular update program. So it's a secondary piece that's not part of regular maintenance for healthcare providers, but that can be of substantial cost to public health or other entities to upgrade receiving systems.
Okay. Any other comments? And then we'll work out our drafting in that direction. Okay. Let's see. Then we go that way. And then that means we have two more on the list here. And the question is that these are now about certification process with the ACBs. The first one is general requirements for the competency of testing and calibration laboratories. I don't think, and for the second one is conformity assessment. I don't believe that we have anybody particular, Mike, on the line to speak to those. Is that correct? I'm just looking at the list.
I don't believe so.
Correct. Okay. So if for these two, they do not go directly to the capabilities of certified software. They go towards the capabilities of the ACB performing certification. We are not aware of any latest version, a more current version of these, unless somebody else is aware of them. And curious whether anybody has particular recommendation that would be different than maintaining then in that context, and perhaps indicate to further evaluate with ACBs whether a more current or a more appropriate version would be available at that time. Does anybody have further insights into that?
Seems like maintain would be our recommendation.
That's what it certainly seems like. Does anybody disagree with that? Okay, if not, then we'll go in the direction of maintain and still make a comment that further developments and work with ACBs might identify in the future another or version or an alternative, but that's not what we have insight in here. Okay. That looks like then that we are just about to the last part of group six. And before jumping then to the draft disposition, Steve, that we can run through, there was one other one that wanted to double check, healthcare associated infection reports. In the draft notes, I was not totally sure whether we have had a recommendation along the same lines or whether something else jumped out there that we still needed to discuss. So I want to check in with you. Is there anything else to be discussed there?
I have no news.
Okay. So that sounds like a replace with the most current is the likely, if I'm not mistaken, recommendation. Okay. Steve, I think we got to the end of the groups.
That is wonderful.
All right. Thanks very much to everybody to getting us to this point. And I'm sure we'll still have a couple of comments as we run through the draft. And Steve, do you want to step through where we're at with the draft?
Sure. It would be my pleasure. As we had indicated a couple of weeks ago, we took the column U from the worksheet and use that as a core for developing task force recommendations and moved it into a Google document because it's easier to track changes and make edits in Google Docs than it is in Google Sheets. So can we bring up the current document? Let's go all the way up to the top, please. So we started out by laying out a framework that describes and lists each of the standards that are being included in our review that we've gone through over the last 6 or 7 weeks. And then for each standard, or we put them together in the groups that we've gone through them to provide some context. Data scope and vocabulary standards is one group. And then general data access all the way down through certification processes. Then for each standard, we've gone through and included again a link to the standard, a disposition or suggested draft disposition for the standard that's either phase out and not be replaced, phase out with replacement, or maintain, and then a rationale for that position, and try to standardize the language across the rationales using consistent language, looking at things like retiring and phase out a reference to a standard to replace with a updated or a then current standard at the next time there's a regulatory review or a regulatory rulemaking process. We still need to go back and develop introductions to each of the sections to provide a short 2 or 3 sentence kind of introduction to the grouping and the rationale that the task force used in collecting them. I think a couple of the decision points that we probably need to make is whether we're looking at things like using the word retire, which comes out of the charge, versus looking at phasing out, as we can see in the first example, and what language do we choose to use in this space? Do we want to introduce something as part of an introduction in additional detail that describes the use of phase out as a substitute for retirement language, or how do we want to approach it from a consistency perspective all the way through? And then looking from the report perspective, do we want to refer to the report as coming from HITECH or the task force? Are a couple of decision points that are still out there. The document is available for all task force members to review, make suggested edits and changes, and we encourage and welcome folks to go in and look at the content and make suggested changes. And Hans and I can go through and review those changes and then accept them or not accept them and provide any comments back. We'd like to spend the next task force meeting going through some of any comments that are more than edits or, you know, typographical errors, grammatical type corrections, so that we've got good consensus across the group. Are there other points that you'd like to add, Hans?
No, I think those are the ones. So if we already have some thoughts on the main questions, we can jump in and address those. And then and after we are done with that, or there are no additional comments, we can then between now and next week invite everybody to really go through the recommendations and see what kind of language needs to be clarified or enhanced. That would be great. So I think we got that covered. Any general questions or any other open topics that somebody feels that we should have addressed but haven't in particular? So maybe, Steve, if we run through a couple of them for then most current, I think we have some good ideas from today's discussion on how we want to create some draft language around that. On retire versus phase out, we probably want to check with ONC team to see what is most appropriate to use, and then adjust accordingly to make sure that there's clear tie back to the charter. So we can take that in that discussion. We'll sort out whether, yes, we have worked as the task force to make these recommendations, but what's the right time to either continue to reference task force or to reference high tech, because high tech ultimately is the one making the recommendation. So we probably can work through with the ONC team, do that at the right time. There, we had been talking also about, we have right now the full enumeration of all the individual standards grouped in as logical a sequence as we thought was reasonable and appropriate in the document to make it easier to see related things together. But we also had been talking about a summary where we could highlight there are these three that have been indicated to maintain, these five that are going to be retired totally, and then the remaining 50, whatever the number is, that some form of replacement is being considered as to why it can disappear. So we still need to work a little bit on that format, but want to confirm that that's still the intent and that we can work towards that, so that it's really the grouping below, that's what we are focusing on delivering, since that's where the rationale is, rather than trying to do that in a format of everything that is being maintained, everything that's being phased out, et cetera. So are there any concerns or alternatives to organizing it the way we're starting to do it right here? Is all the details in the grouped standards, everyone individually? Some of them sound very similar, but they're all phrased differently where they need to be. And then have a summary that just highlights how many roughly and which ones are generally in what category, but leave it at that.
One of the things that we did not do was include information about the purpose or where each standard is used in regulation. It strictly describes or indicates what the standard is. So is there consensus that that's sufficient, or do we need to explain how any of the standards are used in the regulatory context?
My initial reaction would be is that it's sufficient to reference them. Otherwise, we are going to be repeating a lot of the context that's in the rules as to where it's being used.
Agree. We shouldn't need to do that.
And again, from a secondary standpoint, do we want to list where it is in regulation?
We shouldn't need to do that either.
Okay, great, wonderful, fantastic.
They know where it is.
You're aware of all the F's and G's and D brackets and whatnot by heart.
Right, the Romanettes and the, yeah.
That's the shorthand of referencing them. All right. We will, while you see in a number of those, if as you were to scroll down, we did not repeat in the text the full official name of the standard necessary. So, for example, in the first one, a reference to the USCDI version. We did not say the United States Core Data for Interoperability version. So wherever we think that is sufficient, because it's already clear in the title, and then when you read it what it is, we will do that. If it really needs to be spelled out, we will do that. But we're trying to keep it a little bit shorter. Otherwise, these become very long sentences just by way of the title, the formal full title of the standard.
And we're, after the first instance, we're referring to 21st Century Cures Act as Cures Act.
That's one other thing that we need to do, is that to shrink that so that we can go that way. So there's a couple of things like that that need to happen. So anything else that jumps out that we should discuss as a group right now, or that Steve and I can further massage, update, and that everybody will have the opportunity between now and next week in particular to go in and make suggestions on areas that are missed or can be clarified?
please go in and look. We really value your input. This is key in ensuring that the material reflects your viewpoints as it goes up to the high tech.
Not hearing any questions or concerns, then I think, Mike, we are at an early point of going to public comments, unless there's something else in the agenda that I skipped. But I think we are at that point.
And I just wanted to check before we go to public comment. Do you need any assistance in drafting these, any more final recommendations that aren't already done, or do you have that under control?
I think we do. And in our follow-up, we can talk a little bit further about that, make sure that we are covered on which pieces, because there's a, for everybody else, there is already a draft framework out there that is in the official format that we're going to move things in. So next step is just merging it and filling in the gaps. I think, Mike, we are okay.
Hans, kind of drilling down to that question, thinking about particularly the group six that we looked at today, I'm trying to remember what the draft disposition.
If you start to go to, that's the one that I had a question around that we need to validate. If you go to the next yellow sections, you'll start to see notes in there. So there's a couple of things that we need to work through to just clean up. Here you have the notes, meeting notes. They're fairly easily translated into the format for the recommendation.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on those just before going to public comment in case there was any related public comment to give an opportunity for input in that space. But I think people do understand the framework that we're using and the approach we're using and what kind of information is being shared. We go throughout the document, we recognize or include recommendations, where appropriate, looking at adopting the most current standard and recognizing the ability to use SFAP and current intra-regulation regulatory processes to update something that we are very consistent with throughout the document.
Joe, if not?
That makes it, I think we may be ready for public comment.
Yep.
Oh, and right. Sounds good. Do you have a comment, Hans?
No, I was just going to say, we still have a couple of weeks to iron out any remaining things. So I think we're good. All yours, Mike.
All right. Thank you. So we're going to open up our call for any public comments. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press *6 to mute or unmute your line. So we have Shelly Spiro, and I apologize if I pronounced your name incorrectly, Shelly. You have 3 minutes, go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Shelly Spiro. I'm the executive director of the Pharmacy HIT Collaborative and an active member of NCPDP. I just wanted to clarify my comment in the chat of what Margaret Riker from NCPDP stated. It's important for the script version to move to the newest version that Margaret had mentioned in the 2022 series. Because of electronic prescribing for controlled substance in the long-term post-acute care setting that handles the three-way communication between the prescriber, the facility, and the pharmacy. There were additional functionality that was added to the newer version that isn't in the older version that will help with the adoption of EPCS in that setting.
Thank you. That's very helpful context.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any further public comments or hands raised, so I'll turn it back to Hans and Steve.
Steve, I think with that, we reached the end of the meeting for today, and that we look forward to everybody's markup, suggestions, notes that we can work on. Tomorrow at High Tech, there will be a summary of where we're at, status update. And then we hope that between next week and the week after that we can finalize our recommendations and that they can go on their way to High Tech for final review and acceptance. Steve.
I think that is about right. One thing I would like to ask of our fantastic support staff to make it easy for everybody, if they can resend the URL for the task force for the working document after the meeting, that would be great, so that people don't have to go digging through past email to find it. We'll get notes out as quickly as we can, but I don't want to have for people to have to delay working until getting notes, so we can make sure people have it. That way they can make edits. And if you can make edits before Monday, that would be fantastic, so that Hans and I can spend Monday or parts of Monday cleaning up some of the comments or responding to any of the fantastic input that you may give. That's all right. We're not going to lock the document. Please make comments at any point, but if you can make them prior to Monday, that would be fantastic.
Okay. I think we got it, Steve.
Thank you all. And we'll give a few minutes back. Have a fantastic day and enjoy the dog days of summer.
Enjoy. Take care.
Thanks, Hans. Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye.